be Thomas on income taxes.
Sweet.
I was about to say. Before he launches into the discussion, we should observe. We should observe that this is Thomas's last meeting. And I, for one, want to express my appreciation for his contributions. I think. Now, don't make me change my mind.
Thank you, Wayne. Yes, staff paper 11 is the analysis of the comment letters on the tentative agenda decision recognition of deferred tax for a single asset in a corporate wrapper, which was published in the March 2014 IFRIC update. This tentative agenda decision reflects the following results from the Interpretations Committee discussions of the issue in four meetings and the consultations with ISB members. First, IAS 12 does not need to be clarified as far as the accounting for deferred tax and the consolidated financial statements of the parent is concerned when the subsidiary has only one single asset inside and the parent expects to recover the carrying amount of the asset inside by selling the shares. These requirements are clear. And second, the reason for the diversity in practice is concerns about the accounting outcome that follows from these existing requirements. Analyzing and assessing these concerns, however, would require a broader project than the Interpretations Committee could perform on behalf of the ISB. Consequently, the Interpretations Committee tentatively decided not to take the issue onto its agenda, but instead to recommend to the ISB that it should analyze and assess these concerns in its research project on income taxes. We received five comment letters on the tentative agenda decision, which was published in the March 2014 IFRIC update. Two comment letters, these are the comment letters from the Canadian Accounting Standards Board and the Brazilian Accounting Pronouncements Committee, supported the tentative agenda decision. ESMA did not disagree with the tentative agenda decision, with the exception that the Interpretations Committee should recommend to the ISB to address this issue in a narrow scope project rather than to analyze it in its research project on income taxes. EY supported the tentative agenda decision not to take the issue onto the Interpretations Committee's agenda. However, EY proposed to change the wording. The agenda decision should not indicate that the requirements in IAS 12 are clear on the issue raised with the Interpretations Committee. This is because the ISB has not analyzed the concerns raised with respect to the existing requirements in IAS 12 so far. Deloitte instead recommends to take the issue onto the Interpretations Committee's agenda and to develop an IFRIC interpretation. This is because Deloitte believes that there are other accounting treatments that lead to a better financial reporting than the one noted by the Interpretations Committee as being consistent with the existing requirements in IAS 12. Deloitte believes this is the case in a jurisdiction where, as a result of local tax consideration, all market participants will purchase and sell property within a corporate shell. After considering the comments received on the tentative agenda decision, the previous discussions of the Interpretations Committee and the results from the consultations with ISB members, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should finalize its decision not to add the issue to its agenda. We do not think that an IFRIC interpretation can address the issue in order to introduce an accounting that differs from the one described in the tentative agenda decision. This is because IFRIC interpretations must not change or conflict with IFRSs. Furthermore, we do not think that the issue can be addressed in a narrow scope project to amend IAS 12. We recommend that the agenda decision should be finalized without any changes to the wording of the tentative agenda decision. If the accounting requirements for an issue raised with the Interpretations Committee are clear, we think the agenda decision should say so. Consequently, we want to ask the following questions to the Interpretations Committee. First, does the Interpretations Committee agree with the staff recommendation that the Interpretations Committee should finalize its decision not to add the issue to its agenda? And second, does the Interpretations Committee have any comments on the proposed wording in Appendix A of the staff paper 11 for the final agenda decision?
Yeah, I noticed that the agenda decision does not say that we think IAS 12 is clear, we don't use that phrase.
No, no.
Because we got in, years ago, this committee got in trouble with that kind of phraseology. So with that noted, comments? Lawrence?
I'm not sure to follow what's the consequence of what you are saying. Are you saying that then there could be other treatments than the one that is described over here?
No, that was not what I was saying.
Okay. I continue to disagree with this agenda decision. I believe that we are not addressing the issue properly, and the issue is one of unit of account that applies not only to IAS 12, but with IFRS 13 as well. How do you measure fair value when you have an investment property buried in a corporate shell? So when you have a single asset wrapped up in a corporate shell, we know that tax consequences have, taxes have consequences in the determination of the fair value, and you have an immediate problem about the day two, depending on whether or not you consider the asset wrapped up in the corporate share or if you measure it separately from the corporate share. So while I believe that what you have described in the agenda decision is one treatment, I do believe that there are other views where you consider that the corporate wrapper and the asset, the single asset, is one unit of account, and this is what you assess for tax purposes, for determining the tax base and the tax rate. And that's another alternative. So, and which in my view often leads to better reflect the economics of the transactions. So this is why I disagree with issuing this agenda decision, and I think something needs to be done with respect to clarification of what is the unit of account when you have an asset wrapped up in a corporate share.
Tony?
I continue to support the agenda decision. I understand there are other issues, such as those that Laurence describes, but I do think that IAS 12, as it stands, leads you very clearly to this solution, and that it tells you to look at both the inside and the outside basis difference. So I continue to support the agenda decision, and I'd be comfortable for it to be issued as it's drafted.
Andrew?
I also support the agenda decision on the units of account point. IAS 12 is clear there are two units of accounts, the asset and the shares. Perfectly comfortable if it's through the committee to suggest the ISB might look at this issue on a faster track than the broader research projects, but IAS 12 as it stands, I think, is clear. And that's not saying that because it's Thomas's final meeting.
Bruce?
I was just going to pretty much comment echo the comments I made. I also support it. I mean, the reality is, whether we like the answer or not, I think IAS 12 is pretty clear on it, and that would be my challenge. It's not. I thought it would. What I did quite like was the question on IFRS 13. Just as a side thing, I thought that was quite interesting on the valuation. But on the IAS 12, I don't really see how we can get to a different answer. And which is why I was going to ask: Did you identify a lot of companies? Was there a lot of divergence in practice on this?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's what I was asking.
Martin, Sandy, and John, and then let's see if we can.
I guess if we want to have something different, we need to just understand it.
Sandy?
I guess my question is, certainly outside the financial statements, you could disclose what you thought might be a difference in valuation that would impact the organization. Could you do that within the financial statements, or no? I don't think you can either, but you couldn't disclose that if it had been done a different way within the statement. You certainly could without outside, just if you felt like the economics was different. Just curious. I don't know. There's lots of things in there. We can.
Okay, let's just keep going that way around the room. Patrick, Shelley, did you want to come in on this?
Just wanted to express concerns about the fact that in some instances the committee seems to be willing to address issues that have been identified in the way the standards are written, and this was the case earlier with Agenda Paper 5, where you decided to propose a change to IS 19. And here, there's obviously a problem that is quite widespread. The outcome in terms of accounting treatment doesn't make sense. And if you refer this to the board as part of its project, research project related to IS 12, then the answer to this problem will come in a number of years. I cannot forecast. And that's why ESMA was of the view that it would be possible to refer this to the board, but with an invitation to make a small amendment related to this very specific topic in order to avoid waiting for years. And well, that's just the point I wanted to underline.
Point taken. I guess I would observe inside-outside basis is not a new issue. Been around. The only thing new is that Thomas has finally been able to educate me on what it means.
Michael, just comment. I think one thing that I would contrast this with compared with the IS 19 issue, though, is that I don't think that there is consensus that this gives the wrong answer. There are some who say that actually this communicates valid information about two tax consequences, and so that is why both of those tax consequences should be reflected in the deferred tax accounting.
Yeah. Okay, let's not have that argument, though. John and Carl, and then let's wrap it up.
I mean, I don't agree with the agenda decision. I think it's one reading. It's probably the better reading of IAS 12, but I think there are alternative readings of IAS 12 that would get you to different answers. And some of those alternative readings have been adopted by people because they give you more sensible accounting where you have a single asset inside a corporate wrapper. They deal with some of the IFRS 13 issues, and they deal with the fact that in many cases, putting these inside a corporate wrapper is an integral part of the way they're structuring the actual asset itself. So the unit of account is seen as the corporate shell with the asset inside, particularly for investment property. I think it's, you know, in one sense for the committee to say that they agree this, it's fine. I mean, as I said, it is probably the better reading of IAS 12, but I think it is worth contemplating the consequences of just putting out something and saying this is the accounting when we know that the flow-on effects of that are going to give rise to a whole lot of follow-up questions and difficulties which people are dealing with in practice today. So I'm not supportive of finalising this in its current form. I think the board should have taken this on as something to fix when the concerns were raised by the committee a number of years ago. They decided not to do that. I think the committee shouldn't finalise this agenda decision.
Carl?
Last one. Say I support staff's recommendation.
Okay. Let's do it with a show of hands. Those who support the rejection as drafted.
Okay.
So it stands. Okay.
So that is. Thank you very much to all of you.
Yes.
And I want to add, it was a great pleasure and a great experience to work with you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.